the home of explanations. You are exactly where you should be to get explanations. This Saturday morning, it's November the 18th. Welcome to More Than Money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor, live this Saturday morning indeed. And happy to be serving you on Saturday before Thanksgiving. Gosh, just my favorite time of the year. Although, you know what else is my favorite time of the year? Spring. Spring, because, you know, everything's coming to life and warming up and golf starts. And you know what else is my favorite time of the year? Like summer. Summer is my favorite time of the year. That's because it's warm and, you know, we're out by the pool. We're friends. And you know what I'm thinking? My favorite time of the year, really, winter. Winter, because, it's gorgeous and a fresh snowfall. I think there's a pattern here. I'm liking it all. And I hope you are, too. I hope you're enjoying every bit of the weirdness that has been our fall so far. With 70, 75 degree temperatures one day. And this morning, I think it was 24 at the house. That might be the lowest I've seen. Or maybe the lowest that I can allow myself to remember, because, gosh, it gets chilly. It's fabulous. And I truly enjoy it all, and I'm thankful for it all. So Thanksgiving is a great time for us, and I hope it is for you as well. Lots going on. We're going to share that with you. But more importantly, we want to share our service to you, our 780 years of experience with you. This morning, if you're a loyal listener, you know that all you need do is call 610-720-7900, 610-720-7900, and the lovely and talented John will assist you in getting squared away, and then you'll spend a few minutes with Gene, and I'll answer your questions as best I am able, share all that experience with you, and try to assist you in any way that I possibly can. Oh, phones are ringing already. That's fantastic. 610-720-7900. If you have a more detailed question, or if you're a little shy about the radio, you can send me an email. That's gene@askmtm.com. That's G-E-N-E at askmtm.com. And if you have someone that you care about that you would like to share our show with, and they're a little further afield, they might not pick up the over the airwave signal that easily. If they have internet, they're in. All they need do is go to our website, morethanmoneyonline.com. Morethanmoneyonline.com. Yep, online. Who says that anymore? Nobody. But we've had that since, I think, about the year 2000. So morethanmoneyonline.com. Hit the listen live button and you can hear the entire show live and through the miracles of modern technology and iHeartMedia and ask questions. Hit the Ask Gene button, and that'll send me an email directly to my smartphone, and happy to share whatever we can with you as well. If you're brand new to More Than Money, we welcome you. Our show is intended to serve you and your financial lives, serve you and the people that you love. If you have questions about anything connected to your financial life, whether it's an investment question, income tax, estate planning, or business, whether it's about your retirement, whether it's about saving for college or saving for your first home, whether it's about 401ks or mutual funds or Roth IRAs or IRAs, wills or trusts, putting somebody's name on a deed, or did I aggravate a hornet's nest when I started talking about children being responsible for their parents' medical bills. I guess we did that last week, and emails and people got their knickers in a twist. It's not my fault. I'm just the messenger. And of course, if you've got questions about whether you should start a business or how to run your business or how to liquidate your business, you are in the right spot. 610-720-7900. Indeed, please accept my prayers that you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and hopefully yours, as ours will, starts as early as it possibly can. We've got a couple of folks coming over today, family in tomorrow. We'll be early next week, and girls home from college, and lots of friends. Whew, we are blessed, and we trust you are as well. On November 28th, the following week, Tuesday the following week, Laughing at My Nightmare is hosting a very, very special evening in Bethlehem. You get to hear Shane and Sarah present. As a matter of fact, next week, Shane and Sarah will be right here in the studio with us. Exactly. John gives that a strong thumbs up. Double thumbs up. Whoa. Yes, no, those were thumbs. Absolutely. That's fantastic. We John and I both look forward to when Shane and Sarah join us. Wonderful young people. Sarah, bright and engaging and charming. And then there's Shane. Anyway, Shane, one of the funniest young men, one of the brightest, wittiest young men that I've ever known. So we look forward to seeing them. They have a very special evening. And it's a chance for you to get to hear their message in its entirety, their message of positivity. They spell it P-A-W. That's an inside joke. They'll get that. Of positivity, and help them in their efforts to help others. There's going to be a silent auction, a wonderful event. Go on their website, laughingatmynightmare.com, and Diane and I will be there. The recently wed Joanne, formerly Moore, now Joanne Meckes, and her husband Ty will be there. Lots of our friends are going to be there. We're making an evening of it. Because we know how much they will enjoy it. We've been there before, and we're excited to be there again. We hope you will be as well. 2 weeks from today, on December 2nd, we invite you to join us in the More Than Money World Headquarters in the Holy Lands. What better place to be in the holidays but the Holy Lands between Bethlehem and Nazareth? Come join us on December 2nd, we have a live radio show from 8 to 10. You get to be part of that if you wish. That would be great fun. You get to meet lots of our friends and our More Than Money family. Of course, the whole More Than Money team will be there, and Diane and Connie, Sue, Daryl, Bill, Mark, Joanne, the whole team. And with a little luck, even some special guests. So that's going to be really, really exciting. We always have great Christmas music. We have wonderful things to munch on. Lots of hot tea and coffee and hot chocolate. Watch, in 2 weeks it'll be 81 degrees because that's the strangeness that we've got. Hopefully you will join us. Hopefully indeed you will join us. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. Let me see here. One of our most loyal listeners sent me an email, and he's usually helping me. So let me see if he's got a good... he writes, Gene, last week on Shark Tank, one of the sharks offered an entrepreneur 15% equity. The entrepreneur countered with offering 10% equity and 4% advisory shares, which the shark accepted. I hadn't heard about advisory shares before, so I looked it up and discovered they are shares offered to someone who brings a unique skill to a business. Since they are offered in exchange for the investor's effort, no cash is exchanged for them. My question is, how are advisory shares calculated in relation to the overall capital structure of the business? And does the overall cap include the value of the advisory shares? If the investor later leaves the company, are they compensated only for the shares they are paid for, or do they receive cash for the advisory shares as well? Wonderful questions. For many folks, starting a business is as simple as having business cards printed. Not terribly difficult. Maybe the name is even, the John Elliott Incorporated. Okay, just that simple. For other folks, they have a much bigger vision, and they envision at some point having millions and millions of dollars of value, perhaps tens of millions or hundreds of millions of dollars of value, hundreds of employees, and growing to a tremendous size. It is virtually impossible to do that and still own 100% of the company. Virtually impossible. Not impossible, but virtually impossible. Most companies, most of the companies that you would recognize, even the ones that you would say, well, Microsoft, who owns Microsoft? Who? Anybody know? John? Who owns? John does it. John actually probably does. He may very well own shares of Microsoft. The average person would say, well, Bill Gates owns Microsoft. Bill Gates at this point owns a relatively small portion of Microsoft. Hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of people own Microsoft through buying shares. Warren Buffett, Berkshire Hathaway, nope. Hundreds, if not thousands, if not millions of shareholders. Jeff Bezos owns Amazon. Yeah, kinda. He owns a piece of it, and so do millions of other people. So the idea of having someone buy shares in your company has both, it is a coin with two sides to it. The first side is, this is wonderful. I'm getting money that I can use either to grow the company or expand the company or do something bigger or better. And the flip side of that is I'm giving up some ownership. I'm giving up some control of my business. And at whatever point I have given up more than 50%, I've given up in one way, shape, or other, 51% of the ownership, I am no longer the majority shareholder. So even though I might decide that's a particular course of action is correct for my company, the other shareholders could overrule me, they could outvote me, even to the extent that at some point, if I have more than enough folks that disapprove of what I'm doing, I could be ousted from my very own company. Now, that actually never happens. Whoops, sure it does. There's a teeny tiny company you may have heard of. If you're, you know, active in the stock market, you may have heard of the company. It's called Apple. You may have heard of the founder, Steve Jobs, one of the most famous entrepreneurs ever. Was actually ejected from his own company. The shareholders had, in essence, they overruled the founder, and off he went. And he was outside of Apple for quite a few years before he returned. So lots can go on. How do shares part hands with the founder? They're normally sold. They raise funds. They have investors, and there's lots of ways that can happen. You can go on Shark Tank and find one of these famous people to give you money, and you give them stock. Very often, it's done through what are called angel investors. Angels are, once you understand the definition, you'll understand why we call them angels. They're generally family and friends who love you more than they love their money. They're hopeful that your company is going to do well, but that's not really the reason they're investing. They're investing in you. So it's mom and dad and brothers and sisters and grandma and grandpa and aunts and uncles and best friends, and those are called angel investors. They're generally the first place that startup entrepreneurs look to raise funds. Venture capital groups are very often very appropriate for entrepreneurs to raise capital as well. And venture capital groups are just that. They will venture some of their money, some of their capital, into startup companies with the hope and expectation that company is going to do explosively well. In the venture capital world, they are looking for investments that will be multiplied 10 times over. You and I, as normal human investors, we would be thrilled to see 10% returns per year. These folks are looking for their $10 investment to go to $100 10 times in their expectations in a short period of time. So if you own the company, if you've got a good product, a good system, a good service, something that people really appreciate, and it has, as we say, legs, it has some upside, it has some growth potential, it has scalability, which means it has the systems in place to take it from relatively small to relatively large. So you look at our More Than Money family, and on our team, we have 10 employees, and we're looking to expand to add 4 or 5 more in the next few months. That's a very nice expansion. Scalability says, well, that would be nice for some companies. That would be nice for next week. They're adding 5 new employees a week, 200 a year or more. No question about it that takes effort, time, and capital. You know what else it takes? It takes real intelligence. It takes ideas. And this is where, poor Jim, he's wondering when I would ever get back to his question about advisory shares. Long-winded, setting the stage. But as the owner of the company, I know that there are two fuels that will help fuel my growth, fuel my expansion, accelerate the speed at which I achieve my business goals and my growth goals and my scalability. One is money. Money is fuel. And sadly, in many startups, they refer to the burn rate, how much fuel you're burning on a monthly basis. And when they talk about fuel you're burning, they're talking about cash. It's a very sad thing. Okay, so on January 1st, I had $10,000. And on February 1st, it's gone. It's burned. It has been spent keeping the company alive. Why would we burn money? Because we have the expectation that at some point, hopefully in the near future, not only will we not be burning money, we'll be earning money. So if you can flip the switch from burning to earning and then accelerate the earning, you can kind of rapidly repay the funds that were lost in the burning process. Some companies never do. Some companies never flip the switch. But in the absence of cash to burn, there's no company. There's no growth in the company. The company does not survive. So the first fuel that moves a company from a startup, an idea, we've got a prototype, we've got proof of concept, we've got things that are going well, and we think this is a giant opportunity. Yes, we need cash. Just as importantly, we need input. We need mentoring. We need ideas. We need experience. By the way, that's the absolute foundation of why Shark Tank was invented, why that show is so very popular now years after it started. Because in addition to I'll pick on Mark Cuban. Mark's a Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania native, went off and made billions and now acts as both as a investor and a mentor in many startup companies that have come through Shark Tank, and I'm sure outside of Shark Tank as well. What might Mark Cuban know that the average entrepreneur doesn't? Exactly. That's the only intelligent answer. A lot. Just a lot. There's just so much. He has so much experience. He has scaled companies. He has seen companies do very, very well, and sadly, crash and burn, do terribly. So they are absolutely if a entrepreneur is fortunate enough to acquire Mark Cuban as an investor, he has acquired cash flow, but more importantly, he has acquired advice, experience, connections. Oh my gosh. Mark Cuban decides to pick up the phone and talk to a manufacturer. Do you think they'll take his phone call? Hey, John, we have Mark Cuban on the line. Okay. Now that I've wet myself, give me a moment and I'll take his call. because that's a very exciting phone call. As opposed to Walmart, we have Gene Dickinson on the line. Who? What? You know, the guy, the really famous radio guy from Pennsylvania. What? Really famous? Really? Are you sure? All right, that's a little hurtful. That value is incredible. So in this particular case, Jim's example, the business owner was willing to part with a block of shares, a block of ownership of the company for cash, and was willing to part with 4% more of the ownership of the entire company just to get to know what Mark Cuban knows. From the standpoint of where Cuban sits, first of all, the first answer is, if the company's worth, I'm picking a number, $1 million. Cuban now owns $140,000 worth of shares. He paid $100,000 for the first block. He paid zero for the second block. So $100,000, his cost basis is, shockingly, $100,000. On the 40,000 block of advisory shares, his cost basis is zero. Zero. In essence, it was a gift. It isn't. It was an exchange, value for value. His cost basis is zero. An astute accountant might very well calculate that his cost basis is something more than that, and here's why. Advisory shares are in exchange, in essence, an exchange. I am not giving you the shares, see ya, bye bye. I am offering you the shares in exchange for your contribution, your effort, etc. So if I am giving you shares and you are giving me something in return, one of two things might happen. Either there may be some cost basis attributed. There you go. There may be some tax deductible expenses that on Cuban's side, Mark Cuban's side, he'll be able to deduct against his efforts for this new company. Very, very exciting. Lots of neat opportunities. Lots of ways to raise capital, and lots of ways to get it kind of your knickers in a twist and really put yourself in a very, very difficult position. Again, a great reason why you would want to align yourself with a mentor. Now, if you have seen Shark Tank, Mark Cuban, pretty down-to-earth guy, pretty hard-nosed. He's from Pittsburgh. Come on, what would you expect? Pretty hard-nosed, very technologically savvy. So appropriate mentor for certain types of companies. And for others, he has no interest. Lori Grenier, who is kind of the queen of QVC, very, very much appropriate for consumer products. But technology, not so much. Mr. Wonderful, Kevin O'Leary, who actually owns a mutual fund group based in Canada, O'Leary Mutual Funds, and a wine expert. They all bring certain things to the table. Please don't think that whether it's those three, Robert Hershevik, goodness, so many people have been on. Bethany Frankel was on recently. A-Rod was on recently. Barbara Corcoran, thank you very much. Based in New York, real estate mogul of a fashion. Barbara's annoying as far as I'm concerned. Oh, my goodness. And she was on Dancing with the Stars, and she should have stuck with Shark Tank. She was out first week. Oh, my goodness. They've had a lot of, Richard Branson's been on recently, a lot of very interesting people. Please don't think that if you're not on Shark Tank, that you just can't get that kind of investment, that kind of advice, that kind of mentoring. Not the case. Even here in the Lehigh Valley, there are a number of venture capital groups. There are a number of not necessarily venture capital groups, but loose affiliations of folks who are entrepreneurs, successful entrepreneurs in their own rights, who have absolute interest in, do you have a new idea? I'd love to listen. And maybe my name's not Mark Cuban. Maybe it's a name you've not yet heard of, but maybe you should. And so you don't need to go to Hollywood. You can be right here and get some great, great advice. By the way, my good friend Janine sends happy Thanksgiving to everyone in our More Than Money family. She and her mom and her husband were with us at Straight No Chaser. I hope we haven't spoken since. I hope she had as great a time as we did. Well, it's a family, and having her family with my family, doesn't get any better. And for the rest of you who have sent us thank yous and Thanksgivings, thank you so very much. I've got an email here that I'm going to look at for on the break for the next half hour. We're going to line up a Name That Tune. John and I are going to work on that. We're going to figure something out. We'll get that squared away. And a fistful of emails. But more importantly, I want to answer your question. 610-720-7900. Oh, 9 o'clock hour, reverse mortgage specialist, expert extraordinaire, Tiffany Schutte will be joining us. So make sure if you've got questions about reverse mortgages, you got to be here for the 9 o'clock hour. But stick with us. 610-720-7900. We're back with you after this on More Than Money. Welcome back to the home of explanations. You've got More Than Money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor, live this Saturday morning, November the 18th, 610-720-7900. Write that down. We're going to do Name That Tune momentarily, 610-720-7900. When we exit the show, we're going to use the tune that we're going to use today. We always do that. We exit and we give them the full song. But we also, when we exit the show, and a lot of you have noticed this, Natalie Merchant, we use two different songs. We use Bumper, Intro and Bumper is the song you just heard. And then when we exit, it's Thank You, which Thanksgiving's coming up. That's really appropriate. So that's a really good song. So that's kind of a hint. That's probably what our Name the Tune song is today. But it isn't. But it that would be really cool. Really, really cool if we could play like the opening tune and nobody would wait a minute, you hear it every week. No, we're going to get you that momentarily, 610-720-7900. If you're just joining us, indeed, have a wonderful Thanksgiving next week. Please circle the following Tuesday evening, the 28th. Laughing in My Nightmare is having a wonderful, wonderful evening. It is indeed a fundraiser, silent auction, and lots of opportunities to part with some of your cashola to help a wonderful, wonderful group. And you'll get to hear Shane and Sarah share their stories of positivity, and you really do want to hear that. You really do. Diane and I will be there. Lots of my friends will be there. Please be one of my friends that are there. And in 2 weeks, on December 2nd, we have the More Than Money holiday open house. And that's in our home office, in our world headquarters, in the Holy Lands between Bethlehem and Nazareth, from 8 to 11:30 on December 2nd. We invite you to come in, share a cup of coffee with us, a cup of tea, some hot chocolate, and some lovely, delicious snackies. And just be with us. We've got a live radio show for sure. Our team will be there. There's going to be lots of great Christmas music. Scott Besser back again. Very, very talented musician. And most importantly, you. You mean the world to us, and it's always a great chance just to say thanks. Just to say thanks. 610-720-7900. We go to the phones. We talk to John. John, good morning.
Good morning, Gene. How are you?
Very well, sir. How may we serve you?
I have a question, but before I ask the question, can I make a point on the Shark Tank show?
Oh, sure.
Wonderful show, right? I'm glued to it whenever I can.
Mm-hmm.
But Barbara, who I try to like, you know, one day there was two young gentlemen from a well-to-do family with a great idea. And her out was, I don't invest with rich boys whose daddies have a lot of money.
Oh, my gosh.
That annoyed me because I thought maybe they're not going to daddy. They're trying to do it, right, on their own. So, I mean, for her to say that, it kind of like just set me back a little bit.
Yeah, a little.
You know, anyway. But I wonder what your... I understand the blockchain technology. I've gone as so far as to download a Bitcoin wallet onto my iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Now I just have to buy it. But I wanted to hear your professional take on Bitcoin. I'm going to hang up and listen.
I appreciate it. John, thanks very much. Have a great Thanksgiving.
You too.
Take care.
Happy Thanksgiving.
And you. Bitcoin is a very interesting dynamic as we see it today. For some folks, it is simply a financial question mark. Is it a good investment? Well, it is certainly a speculative investment, meaning it's a high risk, potentially high return, potentially total loss investment. Bitcoins were invented by several different groups. There are multiple Bitcoin, using that as a generic term. There are multiple online digital currency opportunities out there. Bitcoin is the most recognizable name at the moment. Kind of like Betamax was the most recognizable name in recording TV shows, and it always will be. And there's never going to be Betamax? A lot of listeners are going, what the hell is Betamax? Exactly. You've never heard of it because even though it was Sony, the biggest, the best, it's gone. Bitcoins were established as a digital currency. They were established to be a non-government controlled. Excuse me. So it's not a U.S. government sponsored. It's not a Japanese government sponsored. It's not a government sponsored. It's also designed to be a non-bank sponsored. So in some countries, currency is sponsored by banks. In America, for decades, perhaps hundreds of years, local banks issued their own currency. First National Bank of Bethlehem had their own $10 bill. First National Bank of Sealings Grove, First National Bank of Sealings Grove? Forget that. How about Kunkeltown? Bottom line is currencies can be underwritten by governments. They have in the past been underwritten by banks. This is none of those. So it's private individuals who got together, put some money in, and said, hey, we created a currency. For some folks, this is a financial decision. Is there enough evidence that this is a good investment? In my opinion, the answer at this point is no. Making sure that you keep in context that Gene's no is based on his 780 years of experience, his commitment to his clients to bring them investments that can be well-researched, that can be well-explored, where you can do your homework and come to a reasonable conclusion. There's not enough evidence on Bitcoins. The evidence that we do have is that Bitcoins tend to go up at a dramatic pace and drop at a dramatic pace. So that kind of volatility absolutely eliminates Bitcoins as a reasonable investment for for the vast majority of my clients. Is it something that they find interesting? Oh, sure. My clients are curious, mature, responsible, thoughtful people, and they find it, wow, that's interesting. We have a gentleman who lays claim to having profited millions of dollars in Bitcoins. He has laid claim to that. Reality? Not sure, because we haven't confirmed that. But let's say that were true. Let's say that through the good graces of God, you got in on the ground floor and that your Bitcoins are currently worth, I'm picking a number, $3 million. And let's say just for fun, you put in a total of $30,000. Whoa. 30,000 times 10 is 300,000. Times 100 is 3 million. You made $100 for every dollar you put in. On paper, well, actually not even on paper. on digits. Digital currency, X's and O's, ones and zeros. Considering the uncertain history and certainly the uncertain future, if indeed there's $3 million sitting there on a $30,000 investment, you would be, what's the right word? Politely, foolish. Impolitely, I got a lot of other words. You would be foolish not to pull a big chunk of that out and drop it in cash. And when I say a big chunk, if you're convinced it's going to go up another 100 times, well, pull out $2 million, tuck that aside, smile, know that you're never going to lose that. If you want, put it in FDIC insured, take it to, 8 or 9 different banks so you don't go over the 250 limit, and leave a million in there. And if you're right, you're going to get another 100 million. And if sadly it goes horribly wrong and it's zero, you get $2 million. That's the proper way to do it. Investing in Bitcoins, more than money, we don't support, we don't supplement, we don't assist our clients in investing in Bitcoins. If they wish to do it, it's easy to set up an online E-Trade account or some sort of electronic account. Very inexpensive. It's again, easy to do. Is it recommended? That's a whole different question. John, I hope I helped a little. Fascinating question. Most responsible financial advisors are hands off until we get some much, much more credibility. Shall we do Name That Tune? 610-720-7900. If you are successful, we have a wonderful CD we'll be sharing with you by Donna Gottschall. Jesus, You're My Place, particularly appropriate in the Thanksgiving and holiday season, of course. And the idea, if you've been with us before, you understand, John's going to play the intro. You're going to call. You're going to guess the name of the song and the artist. And every single time I think, wow, this might be a little too far out, my audience snaps it up. 610-720-7900, Mr. John Elliott. It's just a great riff. It's just a great piece of music. Oh, and if you've ever seen it done live, oh, it's just crazy good. 610-720-7900. There may be a theme to that. There may be. There may not be, exactly. And by the way, if you're thinking Natalie Merchant, thinking it's a slightly different genre, as they say. 610-720-7900. Let's go to the phones and see what we got. Good morning. You're on More Than Money.
Good morning. How are you, John?
Actually, it's Gene. You've got me. You got Gene. Right on air. You got the man himself.
Can you believe it? This is Tony.
Tony, good morning.
I think it's Sly and the Family Stone. Thank you for letting me be myself.
Absolutely. Congratulations. That's fantastic. Isn't it a great song?
Oh, yeah. Was great.
Oh, Sly, indeed. With all the craziness that went on in his life, but boy, what a group. And they put out some fabulous music. So, yeah. Tony, hang on. John will get all your information, and we'll get your gift right out to you.
Good talking to you, Gene. I met you years ago when I was at the Express Times.
I'm at the call
these days, so... I was able to profile you many years ago.
Well, hopefully, with any luck at all, we'll get a chance to reconnect here shortly.
Sure. Thanks again.
Yeah, hang on 1 second. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Indeed. Thanks for letting me be myself. Actually, that might be the better theme song for More Than Money. Oh, my goodness. Ah, that's fabulous. 610-720-7900. A young gentleman writes, I am 29, bought my first home. Money's a little tight. That's true. Some repair work that is much needed, weather turning towards winter. I have an employer match 401k that I max out contributions on. Was wondering what, if any, pitfalls there would be for borrowing against it to take advantage of the free money my employer puts in. My plan is to wait till the next tax year, which is rapidly approaching. keeping my withdrawal under the projected matched amount that should be made up. I'm very secure in my job. Thanks. I listen to your program regularly. We'll be listening the remainder of the morning. Interesting. Okay. A young man doing a lot of right things here. First of all, seeking advice from a much older financial advisor with 780 years of experience. That's very wise. The second thing that he has done, bought a home, and he absolutely understands there's some expenses involved. No question about it. Every homeowner that's out there is listening, is going, I remember my first house. Oh, my goodness. Yowza. It never ended. By the way, it doesn't matter if your first house was a row home or a double or a single. Everybody has the same experience because that's a home. It never ends. There's always something. So you at 29, you think, you know, give me another couple of years and I'll get my house perfect so there won't be any, you know, forget that. Ain't going to happen. You're 29. You've got 50 more years of maintaining a house, and it's the way it's going to be. You're also in the 401k, and you're getting a full match, and that's fantastic. Borrowing money against your 401k when you're 29 is particularly uncomfortable for me, and here's why. If you're 59, a lot of your 401k investments are very conservative. So if you borrowed a block of money and you paid yourself back 3 or 4% interest, it would be replacing a block of money that maybe was in bonds that was paying 3 or 4% interest. So as my mom used to say, it's mox nix. It doesn't matter. In your case, at age 29, your investments in your 401k plan should be growth-oriented, quite aggressive. You've got 30 years until you can begin to withdraw appropriately, and maybe much, much longer. So the appropriate investments for you will be growth stock investments, growth real estate investments, growth commodity investments. You shouldn't have anything in your portfolio that sounds like a bond, quacks like a bond, swims like a bond, swings like a bond. No, you should. James like a bond. I made that up. If I thought about it, I wouldn't have done that. I apologize. You shouldn't have anything that you would expect is going to average a 3 or 4% return. You should have everything in your portfolio that you are fully expecting, understanding that there are lots of ups and downs. Stock markets go up, they go down. But over the next 30 years, on average, 30 years ago, the stock market, the Dow, that's now, 23,000, 24,000, was 11. No, but it was probably 1,500, 1,800. So it goes up over many, many years, no guarantees. You should be looking at investments in your 401k that hopefully are going to average for you, goodness, 7, 8, 9%. If God smiles, 10, 11, 12%, very possible. And so if you're borrowing from your own 401k and paying back 3%, and you pay that back over a five-year period where that same money could have been earning 7 or 8 or 9, oof, that's expensive. Now, I'm reading between the lines of your email that you think, you're interpreting that if you borrow against your 401k, that it comes out and that you're paying tax on it, and that is not the case. A 401k loan is not taxable income. It is the proceeds of a loan. Proceeds of a loan are not taxable. They are an obligation that you must pay back with interest. So the tax piece of it, pretty easy. There is none. The borrowing piece, sadly, is pretty easy too. If you request it, they're going to give it to you. You will be set up with a payment plan. Here's how much you're going to pay every month to pay this off. It'll be deducted from your paycheck. It will not be paid back by the amount of money your company is putting back in, the matching money. That is not how you pay back a loan. That will add to the value of your account, of course. It does not, is not available to pay back the loan. Joe, you're doing a lot of really good things. If the discussion this morning, and we covered a couple of points that have some challenges, the taxation piece, the borrowing piece, the investment piece, if you would appreciate taking a half an hour with one of our More Than Money advisors, we would absolutely be pleased to do that. There will be no charge whatsoever. I think if you spend a half an hour with an advisor, that you'll be on absolutely the right track with just exactly the right information. We're not exactly Shark Tank. We're much nicer than that. But happy to help. I'm impressed. I'm impressed with what you've done so far. I think there's lots more on the way for you. 610-720-7900, Gene at AskMTM.com, MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. Let me see. Gentleman writes via email. My 78-year young mom, good for you, excellent, and feisty 86-year-old dad have a $50,000 fixed annuity that matured this week. She doesn't need the cash, has no debt, and in reasonably good health. Her investments are all in low-risk funds, and she has ample life insurance. Any recommendations on whether we leave it where it is since the fees are low or begin to draw it down and pay the taxes on the $3,000 gross? Oh, very nice. Well, you've got a couple choices indeed. Check your mom and dad's tax return. You may find that the taxes on that $3,000 gain are very low. You may even find, not likely, but you may even find they're zero. It just depends on your mom and dad's tax bracket. If she doesn't need the money, it's very easy to do an exchange, rolling that money from this annuity to a new annuity. That way you don't pay tax on the $3,000. You can delay that for a point in the future. If she likes to stay low risk, if your mom and dad like to stay low risk, you can go with a guaranteed annuity, another guaranteed fixed annuity. If she wants very, very safe but have an opportunity to make a little better rate of return than the current fixed rates, maybe a fixed indexed annuity might be appropriate. You've got a serious block of money here, $50,000+. It would not be inappropriate to break it up into two or three pieces and have it in maybe one piece in a fixed annuity, one piece in a fixed indexed annuity. She might even wish to have a small piece in a variable annuity where she might have some opportunity to grow the money further. So lots of different mix and match options there. Please take a careful look at where mom and dad are where they wish that money to go, what they wish that money to do for them. And again, I say the same thing to you as I did to Joe. In half an hour with a More Than Money financial advisor, you could sort this out rather easily. Certainly your mom, your dad, you, or any combination of those three, easily done. And we're happy to offer that to you. Momentarily, I'll give you contact information if you wish to take advantage of that. And God bless you. And God bless your mom and your dad. It sounds like they're doing great. God bless them. Top of the hour is coming very, very quickly. Tiffany Schutte is our reverse mortgage expert extraordinaire. She's coming in at the top of the hour. Three reminders as we get to the end of this year. I realize we still have, five, 6 weeks? But no, not two, five, 6 weeks. If you are 70 or older, you are likely required to take a required minimum distribution from your IRAs. I say likely because there are some exceptions. But if you are in that age group and you're going, not really sure, please call. Please make sure that your RMD is taken care of. Number two, if your tax bracket, you're looking at taxes and you're going, we do have that one right there coming in. You've got some tax issues or you're concerned about. You may have some tax losses in your investment portfolio. You may want to sell those and get some of those before year end. And finally, and certainly really, really exciting, if you have charitable instincts If you make sure that those are taken care of, those gifts are made before the end of the year, you are absolutely going to get that tax deduction in 2017 instead of 2018. So, three quick reminders and lots of good stuff going on, emails in the queue, and so much more. There's just no way you can leave where you are. Stick with us, because after the top of the hour in Fox Network News, we're back with Tiffany Schutte, reverse mortgage expert, your emails, and so much more on More Than Money.